your GPS has ever made you take a wrong turn, and you know it has, you know how having a proper address is important. But currently, federal, state, local, and private organizations collect all that information willy-nilly. There's no national authorized registry of addresses. It doesn't even exist. And that's why the Transportation Department wants to build it, a single, unified national database of addresses. Steve Lewis is the department's chief geospatial information officer. He joins me now with more on the project. Mr. Lewis, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Well, I was surprised to find that there is no national registry of addresses, even at the Transportation Department. Has that always been the case?
Well, it's not exactly true. There are a couple of national databases at the Postal Service and at the Census Bureau, but they are compiled from some public domain sources and from some private sources. But in the long run, they're protected by Title 13 at the Census Bureau and Title 39 at the Postal Service, so they cannot be distributed to the public.
And does that mean they can't be distributed to the Transportation Department?
That is true.
Well, that's too bad. So how do you go about building one that DOT can use, and why would you want to, I guess?
Well, there's a lot of factors. This data is needed across all levels of government to provide everything from that delivery of mail that the Postal Service is doing to, probably most importantly, the routing of emergency vehicles. And many states already realize that and are collecting it. So in order to figure out how to make this a national resource, back in April, we hosted the National Address Database Summit, and leading up to that summit, we worked closely with the Census Bureau and the National States Geographic Information Council to develop a list of key stakeholders that we wanted to participate in the summit. In the end, we ended up with 58 stakeholders that ranged from 10 federal agencies, 16 state governments, 17 local governments, 2 tribal governments, 8 private sector representatives, and 5 from nonprofit and trade organizations. So at that summit, we discussed how to build the National Address Database, and there was almost unanimous agreement that local governments are the authoritative source for such information, and that the model we should follow is one in which data flows from that local level to the state level and then into a national address database.
Well, just to back up for a moment, because this raises a lot of questions, but if Census knows all the addresses, and you do because they do, that we figure they do because they have the census count every 10 years, mm-hmm. There's no way that they also know who lives there and what the income is and a lot of other private information, which is understandably not something that should get out. Can't they just take out that information and then and leave you with what's left over?
They cannot. Title 13 prevents them from doing so. And in addition, another big thing is that the Census Bureau is interested in residential addresses so that they can do their head counts. There is no business addresses in there.
Well, that's true, too. There's no 350 33rd Street. So what of all the addresses that are believed to exist, how many are residential and how many are non-residential?
I don't have that split. I do know that I think the number was around 175 million delivery points for the Postal Service, and so that would include residential and businesses.
Well, of course, one building could have 10,000 in it. This could get very complicated very quickly. But
and in addition, it's also what we want is something that's structure-based. So, for example, in rural America where there's a farm that has a farmhouse, a barn, a tool shed, we need to know where those things are to get the fire truck to the right place in an emergency.
And there's a lot of multifamily dwellings or duplexes, which, you know, are one building but two addresses, or one building with 100 addresses. And so earlier you said that 10 federal agencies consider themselves stakeholders when you have the summit. What are some of the other outfits at the federal level that to feel that this is something they could use?
Let's see. I have my list right here. The ones that participated in the summit, and I do want to say that we did overlook the military community, and they should have been included because addressing on military bases is an important issue as well. But the federal agencies that were at our summit were, of course, USDOT, my agency, the Department of Homeland Security. Under the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA also participated. We had the Postal Service, the Census Bureau, the Consumer Financial Protection Board, Housing and Urban Development, Environmental Protection Agency, Federal Communications Commission, and the Department of Justice.
It sounds like all of them have a piece of the address puzzle, but nobody has the whole thing.
True. That's why this has to be a team effort. DOT is trying to lead the way by uniting the stakeholders and getting this moving, but it has to be across government effort, and it has to include the state and the local and the tribal governments as well.
We're speaking with Steve Lewis. He's the Transportation Department's Chief Geospatial Information Officer. And so if there were to be a database, is there agreement, say, from the federal level across the federal agencies down and vertically through the local level as to what it would look like in terms of technology?
There is not an agreement on that yet because we're too early in the game. DOT recently secured some funding to do a small pilot, and that should kick off within the next 3 or 4 weeks. But as part of that pilot, we're going to try to see if we can come up with some minimum content standards for a national address database, or at least some recommendations for minimum content standards, and maybe start to scratch the surface on a technology stack as to where it would reside.
Because there are companies like Garmin, and I don't know what's inside the dashboard of a car. We just got a car with a little chip in there, and then you turn it on and it tells you where you are and where you're going. You know, a lot of people have that. What about the commercial services that are already providing geospatial directional information? Do they have a part in all of this also?
We did have, for example, Google and TomTom and HERE, which are companies that collect the data presently. They were at our summit. I think there is a role for them, but just because their data is commercial and they have been collecting it, I don't think that's going to make its way into a public database, but I think a public database could eventually be a resource for them to correct some of the problems you mentioned when we started.
Why does this come up now, you know, in 2015, do you suppose, when really the government's interest in knowing this kind of thing goes back forever?
It's almost a perfect storm of events coming together, but I would like to say that the NISGIC, the National States Geographic Information Council that I mentioned earlier, they've been calling for a national database for years. But recently, with next generation 911 requirements about to happen and FCC requirements to locate cell phones, it's now more important than ever to be able to locate an address.
And besides agreeing at some level, you know, at some point, what the data structures would look like and what would constitute an address in terms of being a piece of a database, what about the issue of keeping it updated? Because localities, depending on where you are constantly adding brand new whole neighborhoods, especially like, you know, look around the Washington area right here. And yet I imagine addresses also disappear over time.
They do, and to me, that's the beauty of the model that we've decided to follow or try to follow, and that's going from the local authority to the state to the federal government. If the locals are on top of it, and if we can set up a technology stream that any time a local makes a change, an addition, or a deletion, that it automatically feeds to the state database, and then it automatically feeds to the national database, then we've got the updates taken care of that way.
And did you ever imagine that having successive versions of it archived might be of historical interest? I'm thinking of a place I used to walk home from school with. This is, I won't say how many years ago, and there was a big rubber factory there. And finally, they tore it down, obliterated the chimney, which was really fun to watch. And then now, this was 30, you know, decades ago, now there's neighborhoods and streets and nobody even knows that place even existed. Could there be any value in rollback ability of the national addresses?
Honestly, we haven't gotten far enough to discuss that, but I think there will have to be some sort of archiving.
All right, so what happens next? What are you going to do first here?
First, we're going to start this pilot. We estimate now, with the help of NISGIC, we estimate that there are maybe 16 or 17 states that have aggressive addressing programs or mature addressing programs. We want to take a look at those states, look at their data flows, their processes, and, of course, the data schemas they have to see if we can find commonalities and suggest a minimum content standard. We also want to try to figure out how to help the remaining states and localities that don't have programs but need programs. So the pilot will give us more information information on how to move forward.
And have you come across any localities or aware of any that haven't gone electronic in their mapping programs, still have rolls of paper in some basement office?
Honestly, no. I think everybody's doing pretty well, and the states, I would think, are generally ahead of the federal government on some of these things.
And you mentioned earlier Title 13, which prevents the Census Bureau from letting out its address information and postal service. There must be some pretty strong privacy issues related to collecting all of the addresses in the United States.
There are. They're very, very much so. But we are confident that if it's nothing more than an address with a unique identifier and a longitude and latitude, that it does not really infringe upon privacy, and it provides the essential service of being able to get an emergency vehicle to your location if you need it.
And I imagine from strictly parochial transportation department's point of view, given the grant programs that you have for local construction and road repair, that might be a good source to understand where that money can best be spent year by year.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anything else we should know about this? I personally find it to be a fascinating project. Do you have a timeline or any kind of a deadline?
No, quite honestly, it's taken, it seems like a lifetime to get to this point. So we're very excited to be at this point, and hopefully after the pilot, we'll have a better timeline on getting to the point where we have a final national address database.
And maybe we'll know once and for all how many 10 Washington streets there are in the United States.
Yes, very true.
All right. Steve Lewis is the Transportation Department's Chief Geospatial Information Officer. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.